America's population may be growing by the minute, but our borders aren't. In America's biggest cities, housing is expensive and traffic is at a standstill. Now even the suburbs have suburbs. In another 50 years, will the East Coast be one big city running from Washington, D.C. all the way through Boston? For answers, we're joined by David Lee, an architect and urban planner. He's partner with the Boston-based firm Stull & Lee. He comes to us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Welcome.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great. So, you know, the Census Bureau report says so much of this growth is happening in the suburbs and exurbs. First of all, what is an exurb?
Well, an exurb is that area beyond what was traditionally referred to as the inner ring of suburbs. As prices have increased, families and others have found themselves moving further and further away from the core. So whereas in the 50s and 60s and even 70s, people were moving just outside of the basic inner city borders, in the 80s and 90s, they moved still further out into what now is called the exurbs. And as a result, more farmland and stuff has been given over to this kind of development.
In some cases, you have cities where people are moving back in. You know, for example, Washington, D.C., after, you know, all of the turmoil in the 60s, had a lot of vacant housing stock. Now it's all been turned into art galleries and museums and restaurants and things like that. In other cities like Detroit, the cities are still somewhat hollowed out and people are really in these suburbs and exurbs. So what makes a difference in how cities develop with population?
Well, that phenomenon is occurring in certain cities, and they are attracting what is sort of popularly referred to also as the creative class, the artists and architects and painters and so forth, coupled with baby boomers who are now leaving their larger houses in the suburbs and exurbs and moving back to the city. Kids are gone. They've got an opportunity to walk to a local art gallery or to just be engaged in the life of the city. So it is happening, perhaps not at the scale that a lot of us planners and architects would like to see, but it is a growing phenomenon. I would like to put one thing in perspective, though, as we talk about reaching this 300 million person milestone. The U.S. is still a huge country by comparison to others. And just for perspective, in the U.S., we have something like 82 persons living per square mile. In the Netherlands, that's 1,000 persons. In Great Britain, about 637 persons per square mile. In Germany, 600 per square mile. And in France, nearly 300. So there's a lot of room out there. The question is, how much do we value open space, farmland, mountains, etc., and what are we prepared to do from a policy and planning perspective to maintain those places?
Well, in addition, isn't it partly resources? I mean, there's all these jokes about the flyover states, and I fly enough to see that there's, you know, certain parts of the center of the country that are highly populated and other parts where, you know, for example, if you're flying over the deserts of the West, it would just take so much to put water there that I can't see there being huge population growth in those areas. So doesn't America's topography have a lot to do with that?
It has something to do with that, but even within our built-up areas, some of our policies are simply not sustainable or cost-effective. You have a city like Pittsburgh that's lost something like 8% of its population in recent years, yet the metropolitan area around Pittsburgh now takes up something like 43% more open space. So what we're having is shrinking populations, but as these populations move out of the core cities, they're doing it in a very cost inefficient way. In the 50s, the average house size was about 1,000 square feet. Today, it's about 2,500 square feet in terms of new construction. And the previous person on the show today talked about the shrinking house sizes. So there's something disconnect somehow that more and more people are living in single households or smaller households, yet the size of houses is more than doubling.
The McMansion syndrome, some people call it. But let me ask you about traffic, because this is something that affects almost every city and so many people. If you have a situation where people are living in bigger houses with fewer people spread out over more of an area, Are you going to be able to develop effective public transportation? Is that going to be an issue that America is going to have to deal with?
It is a very challenging issue. And part of it, I think, has to do with what our values are as a nation in terms of civitas and people coming together and knowing each other rather than retreating to walls behind gated communities or houses just far enough apart that you don't really know your neighbor. We have to decide what kind of a lifestyle we want to have. Clearly, public transportation requires density and public subsidy, frankly. But if you look at the cost for driving, tolls and taxes and other fees don't cover all of the cost of building and maintaining highways, only about 70%. Therefore, the 30% comes out of other tax burdens, which means, do you have schools? Do you have more roads? Do you have libraries? More roads. Sometimes those are the kinds of trade-offs that have to be made. Increasingly, people are starting to look at alternatives. In terms of moving where there is such infrastructure for transportation, like D.C., as you mentioned, and Boston, Chicago, other places. But also they're looking for a regional strategy now that begins to look at commuter rail extensions and then transit-oriented development around these stops so that you have more dense development near transit facilities that may mean that you can drop one car, for example, per household and things like that.
David, we're going to have to stop here. There's a lot more to talk about, and I hope you'll join us again. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
David Lee is an architect, urban planner, and partner with the Boston-based firm Stull & Lee.